On a Monday morning in New Bedford Harbor, the 90-foot dragger Buzzards Bay is at the dock, preparing for its next fishing trip. Ice rattles through the delivery chute, passing into the ship's hold. Captain owner Alex Smith looks over the deck where his three-man crew repairs the nets.
We used to always go five men, but there's not enough money to pay five guys, so you try to cut back as much as you can in any department you can.
Smith is 42. His father was also a New Bedford fishing captain. The business, he says, is harder now than it ever was.
A serious problem now is the expenses are so high. Half of our trip is in fuel. 8 days cost us $21,000 last trip for fuel.
And it's become much more difficult, he says, to find the fish.
20,000 pounds is a good trip nowadays. It used to be 50,000 pounds would be a good trip for a boat this size.
The future Alex Smith used to picture, fishing from his own boat as part of the New Bedford fleet, seems more and more uncertain. He wants a healthy, sustainable fishery. That's the aim of fishery managers, too. The big question is how to get there from here. And if it takes years to achieve, can the local fishing industry survive to benefit?
You want to spring on, Tim?
All yours.
You got it, lad.
The Buzzards Bay eases away from the dock. For the next 7 days, Smith and his crew will be on George's Bank dragging for groundfish, cod and haddock and yellowtail flounder. These are the iconic species of New England's historic fishery and some of the fish most severely restricted by regulations. You can't talk about commercial fishing without talking about regulations. The federal government manages the offshore fishery using a system that groups fishermen into voluntary cooperatives called sectors. Each sector receives a portion of the annual allowable catch and decides how to fish it. Shares of the portion, fish not yet caught, can be bought and sold. It's called quota. Chris McGuire works for the Nature Conservancy, a nonprofit group increasingly active in the effort to develop sustainable fisheries.
You know, when you enter the room and say, I'm from an environmental group and I'm here to help, that doesn't really go over that well.
For several years, the Conservancy has been buying groundfish quota, then making it available to fishermen with a few conditions attached.
We're leasing quota out at cents on the dollar to fishermen who are willing to experiment, and also leasing out quota at cents on the dollar to fishermen who are participating in cooperative research projects.
The Conservancy wants fishermen to use smarter gear, like dragger nets, that more effectively target healthy species while avoiding depleted stocks.
We're hopeful that with, you know, good habitat protection and careful management, that we can begin to rebuild these fisheries.
The group also pushes for improved data collection and management to help scientists and fishermen better understand how the fish are doing. One of the systems the Conservancy has partnered with fishermen to test is called electronic monitoring. Glenn Chamberlain works for the National Marine Fisheries on the Electronic Monitoring Pilot Program. Standing at an office table of cameras and sensors and computer equipment, he explains what the system, when mounted on a boat, is meant to do.
So collecting weight data, length estimates, trying to record fishing activity, what the crew is keeping versus discarding, so putting back over the side into the ocean.
Basically, it's a sophisticated surveillance system with cameras that record every fish brought on board and discarded. It would replace human observers, who now go out on 22% of commercial trips. The system has been used in Canada for years and is now being pilot tested in the Northeast.
I actually have a camera on my boat. I'm one of two fishermen down here on the Cape that have the cameras on the boat.
That's Greg Walensky. He's a small boat captain participating in the pilot study. He says electronic monitoring is a good technology to apply to the fishery. Cameras don't get in the way, and the system is cheaper than paying for an onboard human observer.
I've had the camera on now for 2 years, and it records everything. You know, an observer gets seasick. There are a lot of reasons why things don't get done on a trip, but the camera's just always running.
Even with advances in gear technology and data collection, Walensky is pessimistic about groundfish. The recent cuts in the allowable catch won't make much difference, he says. While big draggers can still scrape up a catch, he says for small boat fishermen like him, groundfish are essentially gone.
You know, I could get quota to go fishing. There's quota available for me, but there's just no fish to catch.
He's advocating a switch from depleted groundfish to a species formerly considered a trash species, dogfish. He says there's plenty of dogfish, and all it lacks is a domestic market, meaning locals who want to eat it. With education and outreach, that could change, he says, and dogfish could save the small boat fishery. Back in New Bedford, Alex Smith and his crew return from fishing. It's the middle of the night, and they're unloading for the next day's auction.
Yeah, these are sea dabs. They're a flatfish. This is hake.
They came back with close to the 20,000 pounds Smith hoped for. But to get to that number, he stayed out 2 extra days, which cost $5,000 in fuel. And he didn't find as much top-dollar fish, cod and haddock, as he wanted.
I used to actually be excited and proud right about it this time, thinking you made an achievement. Now every trip, it's just kind of takes the wind out of your sails.
For fishing round the clock 9 days, plus the day they spent getting the boat ready, each crew member earns $1,500 before taxes. Smith says the main thing is the trip didn't actually end up costing money, which can happen. He's heading back to George's Bank in 3 days. The science says the groundfish are rebuilding and will continue to rebuild even as well-regulated fishing continues. But the stocks are rebuilding slowly. Alex Smith just wants to be sure he's still here when better fishing returns. For WCAI, I'm Steve Junker.